بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. After the first five ayats of اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, the first surahs to be revealed, Surah Al-Muzzammil and Surah Al-Muddassir. First five verses were revealed and there was an intermission where there was no wahi. And thereafter this two surahs were revealed, Surah Muzzammil and Surah Muddathir. The Mufassirin cannot exactly say which surah was revealed first, whether it was Muzzammil or Muddassir. Both the surahs address Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Muzzammil and Muddassir. And the meanings are very, very close. Muddassir, Muzzammil, one that is wrapped in a garment, wrapped in a shawl. So when a person is distressed, he's in a state of anxiety, worry, so you give him some comfort. And he understands how much of comfort he gets with these words. So Allah Ta'ala has special affinity with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala addresses him with Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil. Qumil layla illa qaleela. Now look at the background. There was no wahi and this brought some distress to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He had an encounter with wahi and then he developed an affinity. So after that affinity is developed and there is an interval, and I find it very, very difficult. Imagine, right, you weren't married, right? Alright, you alright. Now you married and after a month or 2 months, now there is a separation between you and your wife. It's easy. Okay? So these things are to do with the psychological self. The person that goes through it, he knows what he's going through. He's 1 month into marriage, now he's a different person. Now he can't do without his wife. And the separation is too much. He can't sleep, he's turning from one end to the other end. And he's just sleepless. So there was a need that Nabi Sallam is given some type of comfort, some type of consolation. So Allah Ta'ala addresses him like this, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil, to reassure him that the love that we have for you is still the same. It is on the increase all the time. So don't get distressed. Our love for you is still there. Then the second thing is, now in this distress, what is still to be done? See, now you're distressed, feeling low, feeling grieved, down. But I had this, now I don't have it any longer, right? So what is to be done? Right. So when you're going to go through these things, you will feel down, right? And Allah Himself says, لَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيكُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُ. We know that because of these people's comments, you feel constricted. Someone is criticizing, someone is running down, someone is not appreciating what I'm doing, right? And all the time I'm just listening to negative things, just running me down, pushing me down. So Allah comforts Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ, we know about this. that these words are hurting you, they are constricting you, they are creating a grief within you. We know about it. When the beloved says that, I know what's going on, so you feel somewhat comforted that, no, at least the one that is in love with you, he knows about what's going on. He knows, and it's under his eye it's happening. So immediately you find a type of a relaxation, type of an ease, type of a comfort. Right? But then, when you are going through this, what is supposed to be done? You're going through the grief, going through the pain, going through the anxiety, what is supposed to be done? Right? If you are just going to talk about it, then it's going to increase the anxiety, it's going to increase the grief, increase the pain. Right? Just going to talk about it. And if you're not going to do anything about it, then too it may not be a solution, because the thoughts will play up in your mind all the time. You're not talking about it, but the thoughts of this thing is playing up in your mind all the time. So now you need a solution. I'm in this state here. What am I supposed to be doing? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ بِنَ السَّعْدِينَ. So then Allah says, what is the program? What are you supposed to be doing? Right? So in one verse Allah says, سَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Read tasbih, namaz, etc. In this verse, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So what a beautiful ayah to be recited at the time of i'tikaf. يَا أَيُّ الْمُزَّمِّلْ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. More in the month of Ramadan, Ramadan has got an attachment with the Quran Sharif. And then Ramadan, you are making i'tikaf. What is supposed to be the mindset? How are you supposed to be conducting yourself? So, every action has a khasiyat, has a special effect, desired effect. You're doing something for a desired effect, right? Like, for example, you come to a madrasa, right, to learn, right? To learn what? To learn the do's and the don'ts. To learn what is desired and what is undesired. To learn what will take you to Jannat, what will take you to Jahannam. To learn how you can increase the love of Allah Ta'ala and how you can avert the anger and the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. So if someone says, I came here for sawab, there's no two ways about it that he's going to get sawab. But then there's many other ways to get sawab, right? You can sit in a masjid and recite tasbih and get sawab, right? Let's sit at home and do some tilawat and get sawab. But now you left the comfort of the home, came to a madrasa, so there was a reason why you came. What was the reason? So define the reason. Understand, right? You went in Jamaat, why you went in Jamaat, right? But if I try to understand, so normally when they start off a kitab, then the learner is shown the gharz and the ghayat. Alright, you see, we are teaching you this kitab here, and this is the purpose for us teaching you this particular kitab. Right? So, there's two things here, one is called gharz, one is called ghayat. Right? In the wording they seem to be similar, but there is a fine line difference. Ghayat actually means the end, right? End of something. Right? And ghayat means the purpose. So the end doesn't have to be the purpose. It can be the purpose. It can, both of them can be reconciled, right? But it doesn't have to be. Like, man did business, right? So the end of the business was he incurred a loss, right? So you can call it a ghayat. But he did business, but what was the end? What was the hasil? He incurred a loss, right? But you say, that can be the ghayat, right? That was the end of the business. But he did business so that you could see some money, you could see some profit, some gain. So that's the gharz. You're doing it for the purpose of gain, right? So both of these things can be reconciled, ghayat and gharz. The end of it was gain, and the purpose of it was gain. So one is the purpose and one is the end. Let's define this thing here. So that is why in a madrasa when a new kitab is being introduced, so the ustad will say, we are teaching you this kitab here. But what is the purpose of you learning this kitab? Right. For example, they will teach you the science of hadith, right? So then from the very beginning they will teach you and they will impress upon you what is the purpose of you learning the science of hadith. So then they will show you, alright, you're learning this hadith, that you understand how you must follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because some things Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had instructed, and those things that he instructed was emphasized, right? Like for example, he emphasized the use of a miswak, right? So some things he explained, and what he had explained was emphasized. So when what was emphasized, then you will practice it accordingly, right? And some things he told was just for your own good, for health reasons, for example, right? So perhaps he may have said that for this type of illness, you must take habbatus sauda, black seed, right? So this was not as a deeni instruction, not an emphasized thing. He didn't impress upon it. It's good if you do it, you know? Take this thing, it'll be good for you. So that was more irshad. Irshad means like for your own good, not as a deeni thing. So now, if you understand the hadith, then you understand now what was the thing that was emphasized and what was just said for your own benefit, right? So now, the person that is going to be teaching you the hadith, he will tell you, alright, this is the purpose of this hadith, this is how this hadith applies, right? So for example, Nabi Sallam had explained qassu sharib, right? Khamsum min al fitrati, five works are from the fitra. What is fitra? Fitra, either you say that it was the way of the Anbiya alayhi salam, right? Or more specifically, the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Or even more specific, what is fitra? Fitra is to have a very clear, sound temperament, right? Temperament, but it's said tabiyate salima, right? So the temperament is absolutely sound, profound, consistent, right? So that's called fitra, right? So there's about four or five meanings I've given for fitra, but this seems to be the most comprehensive one. A sound, clear temperament, very good, sound, clear temperament he's got. So that's fitra. So now, hadith is saying five things are of fitra. So what are those five things? One, for example, qassu shawarib, to trim the moustache, right? So one is sound temperament. Now in the sound temperament, what are indications of this person's temperament being sound, right? Clear. So what are the things that will appear to be, that will show that this person has got a sound temperament, clear, clean? He appears in a pleasant way, not in a unpleasant way. Like imagine now, his hair is disheveled, moustache is, one is going to the North Pole, one is going to South Pole, right? So does he have a pleasant appearance? Hair is very, very disheveled, not right, clothing all very shabby, dirty, not neat. So does he look, appear, does he look pleasant? He doesn't look pleasant. So the fitra, what it refers to, a sound temperament. That sound temperament, what it requires, that you are in, dressed in a presentable way, pleasant way. One is to be dressed in a pleasant and a presentable way. One is to adorn and beautify and cosmetics. Now cosmetics and all that is more for women, right? Men is not for, you know, not for cosmetics. You know, put up this makeup and put up this type of glass and that type of shoe. That's not meant more for men. Came, used it, but you didn't make it a point. I'm going to dress up like this, wear this. This was, the kurta must match with the trouser, and the trouser must match with the topi, and the topi must match with the socks. the socks must match with the shoe. That is meant more for women, right? With small children, 3-4 years of age, they do all this thing, it's all right. But men is not that. Men, you dress in a presentable way. Presentable way, everybody knows what it is. You don't have to give an explanation to it. But just for the ease, like, you can't wear white socks on one leg and a brown socks on the other leg, right? But does it look pleasant? Presentable. Right? Doesn't look presentable. So you dress up in a presentable manner, right? Nabi Sam didn't like you to dress up in an unpleasant manner, right? You still say, no, it serves the purpose, white and brown. So the reason for wearing the socks is to keep the feet warm. So this is doing the purpose. So what's the big idea about having the same colors? So you say it's unpresentable, unsightly. Right? You get a headache and you see someone, hey, the whole masjid will see. If the Imam Sahib is wearing one black socks and one green socks, oh, everybody's, instead of listening to the bayan, they look at the socks. So what's wrong? When it happens, right? Unpleasant. Similarly, now, unpleasant attire, for example, you've got buttons on your kurta, right? So the bottom one is coming up, and the up one, and that one is coming below, right? So now, does it look pleasant? It's not sightly. So the button must conform with that hole that is parallel to it, right? But if it's not parallel, one is going below, one is coming up. Now, they were supposed to be taking a lesson from the Imam. The whole audience are wondering, what's happened to the Imam today? What happened? See, so a pleasant attire. Your attire must be pleasant. As the Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi, I think we were in India at the time, and he had gone to Aligarh for a cataract operation. Before those days, the cataract operation was a big thing. About 1-2 weeks you have to stay in hospital and all that. Now you just go in the morning, you do it, in 2 hours they'll send you back home. It's become so easy, right? But by that time, about 2 weeks had to take you. So he was returning after that cataract operation. And I remember those days, when a person went for that cataract operation, then they would put some type of a mask here, right? And that would remain with you for about 3 weeks or something until everything settles, then you open that thing. So he's coming back home by car. So as he's approaching home, so he asked the Khadim, now take this thing out. Take this thing out. And when I see my folks, then they must see me like a normal person. Now they see me with this thing on my eye, then I'm looking abnormal, right? So when they see me, they must be happy. I don't appear before them like an abnormal person. Right? See, pleasant side. So we are getting to the point now. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, right? Oh, the one that is wrapped in garments. And I just have to give you a little bit of an introduction. Okay, what is gharaz, what is ghayat? Right? You're doing something, what is the purpose, right? You can't just say, I came for sawab. Sawab, you're going to get it every week, okay? You're sitting in the masjid, sitting at home, tasbih, Quran, Sharif, right? Sitting in a bayat, what are you sitting? So you must understand why you're sitting, right? Going out in Jamaat, what you're going out for? You're going out in a madrasa, what you're going for? So if your mind is made up, I've gone for this, then you will put your efforts, will exhaust your efforts to acquire that, right? So long as you know what is to be acquired. But if you don't know what is to be acquired, you'll be doing one thing, and the second thing, and the third thing, and the fourth thing, and confusing yourself. Now, what have I come for? But you know, you come for something, you focus on that. That is why the madrasa, they will tell you that this is the gharz and the ghayat of what you are doing. So they will tell you. And then impress, this is the gharz. Right? So that the student, that learner that is coming, that his mind doesn't go on side issues. For example, you're learning a hadith, learning a kitab on hadith, right? So sometimes, in the process of you learning that work, right, that hadith, so there is a technical term, right? Like what I was explaining that day, budna, right? Budna ja'alnaha lakum min sha'airillah. So now what is the literal meaning? What is the exact literal meaning? So you know, someone just goes behind the literal meaning and
He keeps on looking at the lexicon, at the dictionaries, for the root meaning of budhana, and he doesn't pay attention to the hadith, etc., then he'll lose the plot. He will just quickly get an understanding of the budhana and continue. But now he's making a detailed research on the word budhana, where it came, how it came, why it came. Now, and he's forgetting what his purpose is. Right? So all those poetry that came out, budhana, he's learning it up. The root words of budhana, he's learning it up. What's the application, and who said it, and how it was said. So now, what was the theme? The theme was something else. So he lost the plot. So you come for a certain purpose. Now understand first what is the purpose that you have come for. When you understand, then you know where to exhaust your energies, how to exhaust it, and where to exhaust it. Right? So now Surah Muzzammil is giving something about a Muslim's individual life. Is individual, right? One is Muslims living a collective life. Right? In your individual capacity, what must you be doing, right? Individual. Infiradi torpar. What must you do, right? Collectively, what you must do. Individually, what you must do. How you must conduct yourself, right? So, قُمِلْ لَيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So, it's for your individual good. See? This is your individual good, what you must do. Every man will have different dimensions in his life, right? One is as a member of a community, right? So it's a different dimension. One is as a husband to your house, it's a different dimension, right? One is as a father for the child, it's a different dimension. And one is your individual self, individual responsibilities, yourself, you as a man. So what are you supposed to be doing? So you can't mix issues. You can't just say, no, I'm just a husband to my wife. That's all. You can't say that. No, you're a husband to your wife, you're a father to your child, you're a boss of your shop, you are a member of a community. So there's different dimensions to your life. When you, there's different dimensions, so understand every dimension, and when you understand it, then you know how to apply yourself. But you're going to mix up things. If you understand, you feel, no, I'm just a husband to my wife, I've got no other responsibilities. Children, they must sort themselves out. Business, that must sort itself out. My work is just to be a husband. So he lost the plot. He doesn't understand. See? So the surah shows your individual self, how you must conduct yourself. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. Qumil layla illa qalila. So the first reason is to bring about comfort, because it was an interval where there was no wahi, and Nabi Sam felt the pain of separation, right? Like I told you, that a married man got his wife for a month, and his wife separated after 1 month, just went away for a holiday, right? For 2 months. How difficult he feels, right? So after that affinity, if there is an interval, then he feels the pain. So one is to give a comfort, and one is to teach a person, all right, individually, what are you supposed to be doing? How do you conduct yourself in your individual self? See a different dimension in a human being's life. And all must be learned, everything. Because you are a man, you are a member, you are a husband, you are a father, you are a boss. Whatever you are, in that capacity that you are, learn that. Learn that, perfect that. So you will feel like you are an asset, you will feel good, you will feel fulfilled, right? Otherwise, it will be a lost case. When you are a father, you want to be a husband. When you are a husband, you want to be a father. And when you are a boss, you want to be your father's child. So now, you are going to mix up everything. So understand now, what is your portfolio, and then work accordingly, right? It's your individual responsibility. What's your individual responsibility? Ya ayyuhal muzzammil qumil layla illa qalila. So you're individually, you need to get yourself sorted out. So one of the things that you need to get out is your qiyamul layl, right? Because before the five namazes, the qiyamul layl, tahajjud namaz, was compulsory. So the five namazes came later at Mi'raj. Mi'raj was around 7th, 8th year of the Hijrah, right? So it came later on. But before this was Qiyamul Layl, Tahajjud, right? So that was compulsory. But now, Allah Pak is then explaining, all right, you want to get up for Tahajjud, then the natural question will be, how long must I get up for Tahajjud? How long? That's what you want to ask. You must get up for Tahajjud, but how long? So, Qumil Layla illa qaleela. So, initially the command was, most of the time must be Tahajjud. Qumil Layla illa qaleela. Qumil Layla illa qaleela la taqoom. Qumil Layla kullaha illa qaleela. Understand? Nisfahud. Alright. What do you mean by most of the night? Most of the night means then, Nisfahu, half the night. So you're standing up in Tahajjud, how long? Half the night. Awin kus minhu qaleela. Or little less than half, it means one third. So you get up the entire night, most of the night, it means half or more than half. Or decrease it slightly, that is, it will come to one third, right? Or zid alayhi, or little more. Either half or more than half, that means it will be two-thirds, right? Awzid alayhi. Alright, you understood now the time that you should dedicate in Tahajjud. But now what are you supposed to be doing mainly at the time of Tahajjud? What are you supposed to be doing? You understood now the duration. But now you need to understand what are you supposed to be doing at Tahajjud, right? Or at Namaz. But in Namaz, what are you supposed to be concentrating more? Because it's two-thirds the night, half the night, one-third the night. But what are you supposed to be doing? What you're supposed to be doing, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Reciting the Qur'an Sharif with tartil. Not just going through it fast. No. To recite the Qur'an Sharif, and recite the Qur'an Sharif with tartil. Now what is the meaning of tartil? Right. So, tartil is talking about the Shah Abdul Aziz has given about 5 or 8 kun adab that will amount to tartil. One is tashihul huruf, to see that every alphabet is pronounced correctly. Right. Number 2, mura'atul wukuf, to see that you stop correctly. Right. So the stops must be correct also. You can't just stop randomly. Sometimes it will complicate the meanings. Like for example, فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِنَّا نَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. Right? So if you don't stop فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ and recite فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِنَّا نَعْلَمُ, you may be able to complicate the meaning. Right? But if you stop now you got the thing right. فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِنَّا نَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. Right? So, one is tashihul huruf, one is mura'atul wukuf, right? Number 2. Number 3, izharul mad, to show mad. The mad must be clear, distinct. But, you know, say, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, right? So the mad is there. One is the long mud and one is the short mud. So وَالسَّمَاءِ, it's a long mud. ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ is a small mud, right? مَدَّلَازِمْ, small mud. One is a long mud, right? So now, the muds must be distinct. Don't just go وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. No. So you allow the mud to be distinct as well. إِذْهَارُ mud. And then same, إِذْهَارُ shad, right? So one is tashihul huruf, mura'atul wukuf, izharul mad, and then izharul shad, shad tashdeed, right? Wallayli idha yaghsha, iyyaka na'budu, right? So that's izhar of the tashdeed. When you can say, iyyaka na'budu. So the tashdeed is not distinct. So let the tashdeed also be distinct. Iyyaka na'budu. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. The mad must be right. The tasdeed must be right. So you see, these are four adabs of the recitation conforming to the standards of tartil. تَسْكِيُّ الْهُرُوف, مُرَاعَاتُ الْوُقُوف, إِزْهَارُ الْمَدْ, and إِزْهَارُ الشَّدْ. Right? Then the fifth thing in the recitation is also to recite with ta'awwu, with a little bit of concentration. Right? That simple concentration that everybody can apply, right, is Allah Ta'ala has asked me to recite. So I'm reciting to Him. So this concentration will then fade away. Then you renew, you revive this, right? You revive this concentration. Allah Ta'ala asked me to recite. I'm reciting. Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab. So Allah Ta'ala has asked me to recite, therefore I am reciting. So it went down and you brought it up again. It went down, you brought it up again. But Allah Ta'ala asked me to recite. So I am reciting because Allah Ta'ala has asked me to recite. See that? So that's the fifth adab. To izharut ta'awwu. Right. Number six, the sixth condition for you to conform to tartil is, now understand first, that what is the reward for tartil? So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will ask that person that was reciting the Quran, اقرأ ورتل اقرأ ورتل. Recite and recite with tartil. Recite with tartil and go on ascending the stages of Jannat, right? So recite with tartil and ascend the stages of Jannat. So the stages of Jannat, one of the requirements of ascending those stages of Jannat is the recitation with tartil. See that? So tartil is not a simple thing. It's like subject, it's a condition for you to be for elevation. Iqra' warattil. Warattaqi. Go on ascending. Warattaqi. Iqra' warattaqi. Warattil kama kunta turattil. Iqra' warattaqi. Warattil kama kunta turattil. فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتَكَ إِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُهَا. Because your abode will be the last verse that you have recited. So now, the last verse, that means the Quran Sharif has got over 6,600 verses. So, if you want the perfect stage, recite it properly, correctly, and completely. So your status also will be right on top. The one condition that people leave out about tartil is you're supposed to be reciting without stops and stucks. What? Without stops and stucks. Read fluently, plainly. Right. Now, you can recite plainly and fluently if you are reciting quite a bit of Quran Sharif every day. 5 sipara, 4 sipara, 6 sipara every day reading. So then your recitation can be fluent without stops and stucks. But read one sipara, so you think, you know, it's ya'lamun or ta'lamun. What comes here? Bima ta'amaluna basir or bima ya'amaluna basir. What comes? So you're getting confused. Why? Because the recitation is not sufficient. If the recitation is not sufficient, so you're reciting with stops and stucks. So then that will be not in conformity with tartil. So now the seventh condition for tartil is تَغَنِّي بِالْقُرْآنِ. One is to recite without stops and stops. For that you require to read a considerable amount. Now, what happens in the Qiraat class is they teach you the Tajweed, right? The law of Qiraat. But they don't tell you that you must only concentrate on the Tajweed and Qiraat. No, they don't say that. They say read a considerable amount, but read also with Tajweed. Not that you must only think about Tajweed and forget the recitation. So read, and read a reasonable amount, so that your recitation is right, and you're not reading with stops and stucks. So the seventh condition is, you recite in a melodious voice. Because when you're going to be reciting the Quran Sharif, in a melodious voice, you will touch the heart. Allah Pak asked me to recite, and I'm reciting in a melodious voice, it doesn't need to touch the heart. You're going to be reciting loudly, audibly, don't say loudly, but audibly, and in a melodious voice. Doesn't need to touch the heart. Must touch the heart. If you are singing the praises of your beloved, right? Can you sing it in your mind only? Try and do it. No? You can't sing in your mind. You have to read it audibly, right? So you read it audibly, it touches the heart. So now the tartil got about 7 or 8 conditions, right? So there's extremism in this. Somebody is only worried about the voice. Somebody is only worried about the pronunciation. Somebody only worried about the khushu. So there must be a consolation, reconciliation with all. Khushu, khuzu. The pronunciation must be right. And all these conditions must conform for you to acquire tartil. So don't take it to the extreme. Iqra' wartaqi. وَرَتِّلْ كَمَا كُنْتَ تُرَتِّلْ. So, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ وَمِنْقُسْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. So, the time is shown and the duty is shown. If only the time is shown, you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. If only the duty is shown, you don't know the time. So, Allah shows you both. This is the duty and this is the time. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. So, we are going to grant you a very weighty speech. The speech that we are going to send to you is going to be weighty. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. So, perhaps the reconciliation between both the verses is that for you to be able to take the weight, the magnitude of the Quran Sharif, right, your heart must be prepared. Your heart and your chest must be prepared to take the magnitude of the Quran Sharif. So what will prepare the chest and what will get you that magnitude is getting up Qumil Layl, Qiyamul Layl. When you make Qiyamul Layl, it will create the magnitude in your breast. Now when the Quran Sharif is being recited or being revealed, you'll be able to take it in perspective. See? So, a seed can germinate when you prepare the field. You didn't prepare the field, there's thorns there, there's bush there, there's stones and rocks now, and you want to now do your cultivation. Is it going to be right? So, similarly, the chest has to be prepared for to receive the magnitude of the Quran Sharif. The chest has to be prepared to receive the magnitude of the Quran Sharif. And what's going to prepare the chest is the Qiyamul Layl. As you're going to be doing Qiyamul Layl, now you've created a capacity. When you've created a capacity, now the revelation is coming, and it's coming permeating the heart. The Quran Sharif is going to affect your heart. You hear of Fuzail bin Iyaz, rahmatullah alayhi, right? A very great buzurg of his time, very great. You talk of buzurg and awliya, then he's like heading nearly all of them, right? Fuzail bin Iyaz, rahmatullah alayhi. But now, what brought about a revolution to his life? His story was that he was the head of a gang, right? He's plundering, robbing. So that was their business, right? And he was the head, right? And whilst they had robbed one caravan, they waylaid them and robbed them. So it was the early part of the morning, and one person was reciting the Quran Sharif, right? And he came across the verse, أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Hasn't the time come for the believers that the heart should be humbled with the word of Allah Ta'ala? أَلَمْ يَعْنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَى قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That the heart should be humbled with the word of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So he read it with that feeling, that spirit, that the head of the gangsters, his heart melted. See, the Quran Sharif with tarteel, and I showed it as tarteel, right? And the head of the robbers, now his heart got affected. See. Here we recite the Quran Sharif, but our hearts don't get affected. Let alone the audience, let alone someone else, but does our heart get affected when we recite the Quran Sharif? Here, it's a robber who's living in blood, right? Blood and life. And the Quran Sharif, one verse is recited to him, and it's affected his heart so much. See. So that means he had prepared his mind, he's prepared his chest to receive the magnitude of the Quran Sharif. Now the Quran Sharif is giving its effect. Like the land was prepared, and then you sow the seed, now there's cultivation, there's growth, everything is happening. Don't you see it? أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَى قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْئًا وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْئًا وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. So rising up at night, هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْئًا. Now that is most effective for suppressing the nafs. See, man has got a nafs. And nafs is temptation, right? We see something and we're tempted. Can anybody say you're not tempted? See a woman, you get tempted. See good food, you get tempted. See a good car, you get tempted. You hear of some good investment, you get tempted. Right? So any material will tempt a man. Must tempt you, right? Irrespective of person, irrespective of age, but you want to be tempted, right? And this running after temptation, right, will make you a monkey. For one, the second one, the third one, we're just running around in circles. It'll make you a donkey or a monkey, right? Now you need to control the temptation. How are you going to control it? So one way the Quran is showing, إِنَّ نَاشِيَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطَعَ. So وَطَعَ is to tramp. وَطَعَةُ, right? To tramp. So rising up at night is most effective in suppressing the nafs. Right. So you want to have some control over your nafs, right? So what is the most effective thing to bring about a control? Rising up at night at tahajjud, that will then give you the control, right? When you've got control, then you're a man. And you don't have a control, then you're an animal. Look at, just compare a man against an animal, right? An animal has got no set of rules. It's got any rules. Rules, regulation, anything will come. Anything come before it is going to do it. Right? There's no rules to it. There's no such a thing like suppressing its nafs. No. Do you hear of an animal suppressing itself? No. It will suppress if it's afraid that the boss is around, it won't do some things. But otherwise, it'll just carry on. Randomly, whatever it wants to do, it will do. So there's no such a thing like control. So, you want to bring about a control to yourself, and move away from being an animal, right? Animal, you want to see in Springer Beach, see the monkeys, right? One will be the grandfather, will be the father, one will be the son, mother, granny, and it's free for all. Son is jumping on the granny, granny is jumping on the grandfather, in front of everybody. So there is no rules. There's no rules against temptation. So when there's no rule against temptation, it's going to move to a free life. Right? And then you see them, and we talk about it also derogatively. Right? He's a monkey, man. Don't you say that, he's a monkey. Just, right? But if a person is well respected, he's doing things correctly, you know, he's a man. Don't you say that. He's a monkey, and he's a man. Right? So perhaps Darwin was a monkey. So therefore, he spoke about a monkey business. He was behaving all the time with a monkey, sleeping this side, that side, the river. He was doing like a monkey. So he thought now everybody like the monkeys. إِنَّ نَاشِيَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْأً وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. Right? So هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْأً, I showed you the meaning. وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. So getting up at night is most effective in suppressing the nafs And also, it is the best time to be reciting things very clearly, correctly. Aqwam, Qaim, you know, everything is recited but clearly, correctly, perfectly. Because to be reciting correctly, you don't need any sounds, any occupation, any preoccupation, any indulgence, sounds, noise, occupation, preoccupation, all they remove the clarity of the mind. And when there isn't the clarity of the mind, the recitation can't be so flowing, right? So we want it flowing. It must be a flow, beautiful, spaced out, clear, correct. So you don't need anything to be disturbing. That is why you'll find a person wants to do a recording. He does it in a studio. Why they do it? Soundproof. You heard about it, right? He wants to do a recording. He'll do it in a studio. There's no sound, no noise at all. So that recording must go absolutely clear. So now you want that time, that is now night. Right? Because there's no occupation, no preoccupation, no sound, no noise. The market is still, children are all sleeping. Everything is still, quiet. The beauty of stillness, right? Still, silence, and reciting. So the presence of Allah Ta'ala and your recitation, how beautiful, right? Mehu or Mere Mahbub, it's me and the beloved, nobody else. So what a beautiful time to be reciting the Quran Sharif. Inna nashiyat al-layli hiya ashaddu wat'an wa aqwa muqila. Inna laka fin nahari sabhan tawila. So in the day you have a prolonged occupation, right? Day, there is a prolonged occupation. Go and make gush here, go and make ta'lim here, go and remind here, go and have this person out, go and correct this person, go and make ta'lim this idea. So many things, it's a prolonged occupation. In ذَلَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. See that? So the more appropriate time for all this type of interaction is the day. The night you go right at 12 o'clock, you make gush at someone's house, will he receive you? So is this the time to come? So the right time is the day. For all this type of occupation is the day. إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. Right. You have a prolonged occupation. To go talk, make up this person's mind, get his tashkil right, get it ready for 4 months. So much of work to be done in the day. إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. But I explained it earlier I explained that there are different dimensions in a man's life. One is his individual life, his marital life, his business life, his social life. So there's different dimensions. وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. Now your personal, individual life, your personal life, what are you supposed to be doing? وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. See, your personal. One is, you're a member of a community, it's a different obligation, right? And your personal, what in your personal self, what are you supposed to be doing? وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember your Rabb, and سَبْسَ كَتْ كَرْكَ اُسْكَ سَاتْ هُو جَاؤ. What? سَبْسَ كَتْ كَرْكَ اُسْكَ سَاتْ دِلْ لَگَاؤ, جِي لَگَاؤ. Cut yourself away from everything else and then connect yourself to Allah Ta'ala. Total intimacy. What? Don't you also want intimacy, right? Whatever you're doing, but you want those private moments and you want absolute intimacy, uninterrupted. If a businessman or someone is interrupted whilst you're in intimacy, do you appreciate that? So Allah Ta'ala also wants that intimate time. So this is the most appropriate time for that intimacy shared with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolute intimacy. Absolute no interruption. وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. See that? وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. Now the question is this, that Allah ta'ala speaks about وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ and then وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. What is the reason for this sequence? The reasons for the sequence known best by Allah Ta'ala, but one simple reason that comes to mind is the actual purpose is zikru rabb, right? That's the purpose. What is the purpose? Zikr, right? But the thing that will make the zikr most effective is tabattul. When you have broken away from everything else and then linked up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will bring you the ultimate intimacy. Everything else you've cut it off. No, I'm just with me and my beloved Allah, nothing else. Like I say, a man in his individual life, in his personal life, he wants that level of intimacy. He doesn't want to be interrupted at that time, right? So Allah also deserves the same, and you also deserve the same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolute intimacy. So that absolute intimacy can be when you have cut away from everything else and it's just between you and Allah ta'ala. A special relationship with Qurisma Rabbik. So therefore Allah ta'ala speaks about the actual purpose first, and thereafter how you're going to get there. وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلَ. That story of Mawla Sadiqul Yaqeen came in this chapter, right? In this article. So Mawla Sadiqul Yaqeen was in Makkah Mukarrama, and he was in the company of Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh called him one day and says to him that, you see, Mawla Sadiqul Yaqeen Sahib, we cannot underrate the barakat of Makkah Mukarrama. Makkah Mukarrama can underrate it, right? The presence, one namaz 100,000 times, right? Multiplied. So we can't underrate the greatness, the auspiciousness, the auspiciousness of this place. We can't underrate it, right? And you have also strove very hard, and I also tried to work with you, but I don't see the desired effect in you. See, Makkah Mukarrama, Kaaba Sharif, right? And a person like Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and he's working hard. And the murid that is working, Mawla Sadiqul Yaqeen, he's also striving. But with all this, everything is in place, but that desired effect, I can't see the desired effect. So, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh sent Mawla Sadiqul Yaqeen Sahib to Gango. As he left Makkah Mukarrama, send him off to Gango. Now, a person that doesn't understand, say, yeah, Makkah Mukarrama to Gango. Where's the munasabat? This is pure Darul Islam, the heart of Islam. From the heart you send him to a Darul Kufr, Darul Harb. What's going on with you? See? So anyway, came to Makkah Mukarrama, he left Makkah Mukarrama, came to Gango. In a few days that he was there, and things worked out for him, and he sent back to Makkah Mukarrama. After it worked out, everything worked out in place. So when he came to Makkah Mukarrama, Hadi Sahib Rahman saw him, or Hadi Sahib ku watched Aliya, that's the word, you know. Hadi Sahib, when he saw this now, like a state of ecstasy, overcame. Now one person asked Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, his students keep on asking. How come he had to be sent to Gango to get this type of kayfiyat? There was a kayfiyat that was he was short of, and this kayfiyat came about in Gango. Stayed in Makkah Mukarrama, the auspiciousness of the place, the surrounding, the greatness of Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and what he'd been doing, everything together, but he couldn't get it right. And here he came to Gango and got it right. And Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh also acknowledged that he got it right. So, Sahib Rahmatullah explained that what he was short of was Safai Kalb, right? And the Safai Kalb is got through Yaksui, right? Yaksui means uninterrupted focus. Focus, but uninterrupted. Now, residing in Makkah Mukarrama, he couldn't get that. And perhaps the reasons for not being able to acquire that in Makkah Mukarrama was obvious. Right? Because now you're in Makkah Mukarrama, and right, so you're going to be involved in your occupation, whatever business you are occupied in, you're involved in that. So, when you're occupied in that, and then it's Makkah Mukarrama, the Kaaba Sharif, right? So your mind is in all these things here. And now you require, you need an uninterrupted focus. Right? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also had to leave Makkah Mukarrama and go to Hira for that few days to get that Safai Qalb, see that? The preparation of the land. Some sort of preparation so that it can take the magnitude of the wahi. See that? That had to be prepared. So otherwise if it was prepared here, there was no need for Islam to leave Makkah Mukarrama and go up to Hira. But he had to leave to get that uninterrupted focus. The uninterrupted focus will bring about Yaksui, and the Yaksui will bring about the Safai Qalb. The purity of the heart, you know. Purity here will refer to the perfection of the heart. I mean, perfect. You got a health, a heart problem, right? So they'll take you away from your home, hospitalize you, right? Empty your whole abdomen, right? And they put you into an ICU. And then they will start working on your heart, right? But now, you tell the doctor, hey, put a small thing, I must leave my home, leave my masjid, come to your hospital, spend 6 weeks there. What's your problem? Come, just swap me out here, man. If the doctor gets overwhelmed with you, start operating on you, in your bed, in your at home, what will happen? What will happen? Perhaps they will confiscate his whole practice. They'll confiscate. You can't practice as a doctor any longer, right? So there's a process. Right? So like the physical thing, he needed 6 weeks for the operation, the recuperation, everything. He needed 6 weeks. Now this is a thing that is even more refined than a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. Right? So Mawlana Sadiq Sahib had to leave Makkah to get the spiritual thing right under the auspices of Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Now the Christian camps comes up again, alright, but Hadi Sahib was a master in this field here. Couldn't Hadi Sahib understand this, right? Hadi Sahib will understand this, obviously, but the words of Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah will be more effective. Because Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah formally was not an alim, although very righteous, very learned, but formally he didn't have the title of an alim. So he wasn't teaching hadith, nor was he practicing hikmat, writing prescriptions and writing scripts and all that. He wasn't doing it right. But Mawlana Gangohi was doing the both, teaching hadith and writing out a script, etc. for a patient. He was doing both. So if Hadi Sahib had asked him to leave it out, then he would have had some type of reservation. Man doesn't know what it is and he's asking me to leave it. Right? But if someone is doing it and asking you to leave it, then you feel much more mentally at ease. The man knows what he's doing, and he is doing it himself. He asked me to leave it, so there must be some good reason why he asked me to leave it out, right? See that? So, inna nashiyat al-layli, hiya ashadu wat'aw aqwamu al-qdila, inna laka fi al-nahari sabhan tawila, wa'tkur isma rabbika watabattal ilayhi tabatila. Tomorrow, inshallah. Can't give everything today. Been a little bit tired.